This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. During his campaign, President Trump often said that he would bring coal jobs back. That may have helped him in important states like Ohio and Pennsylvania. But there are questions about how much he or any president can do to create jobs in the coal industry. We're going to talk about coal and trends in energy in general with Western Michigan University Geosciences Professor Joyashish Tikirta. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
What right now would you say is sort of the overall outlook of the energy sector? What are companies looking at when they make decisions about how they're going to run their power plants?
In the United States at this time, we are seeing an ongoing trend of shutting down coal-fired plants and starting natural gas-operated plants. And it has been happening for quite some time now. This is not only to meet with the contamination and environmental standards, but also there is a high economic incentive for the companies that produce energy, one of which is that coal is a solid, and transportation of coal and burning of coal and the disposal of the coal waste is an expensive process, not to mention the regulations about the industry effluents from the coal-fired plants by the EPA. However, energy that is produced from the burning of natural gas is a far more efficient process. So for the unit quantity of energy produced, the amount of greenhouse gases that are emitted by coal is double than the amount of greenhouse gases produced by the burning of the natural gas. Not only that, the transmission of natural gas is much easier because natural gas is a gas. It can be transmitted by long pipelines over very large distances. That is not true for coal. So coal has to be mined out and then trucked by large haulage trucks and conveyor belts and railroads to far enough places, much easier for the oil and gas. And thirdly, there has been a large boom in the production of oil and gas in the United States in the past few years, particularly with the implementation of the new techniques of hydraulic fracturing, in which the country has been able to tap enormous sources of natural gas, which were unavailable a few years ago. So that has made natural gas more available in the market and indeed a cheaper way of production of energy for most of the energy companies in the country.
So, of course, we hear a lot about regulations on one side or the other, both sides here. There's a lot of debate about how much regulation there should be. Should it be encouraging certain types of energy production? But part of what I think I'm hearing in your answer there is that if you take regulations out of this, there are simple market forces which are encouraging companies to use natural gas as opposed to use coal.
Yes. In the end, it's not the government, it's not the government policies, but the actual market forces of demand and supply that will determine the future of the energy industry. Say, for example, all the energy industries, or most of the major energy industries in the world, energy production industries in the world, are making transitions to clean power plants. That is not necessarily in response to the proposed government regulations. For example, the Obama administration announced the CPP, the Clean Power Plan. They announced it in August of 2015, but it has been put on hold by the Supreme Court in February 2016. But in spite of that, several states around the country has already made plans to limit the sources of carbon dioxide and implement other types of energy. Not to mention, there is a growing development of technology that uses alternative sources of energy, such as wind, biorenewables, and solar power. And that is creating a lot of jobs, new jobs, all across the country.
Are there good economic reasons right now for a company to say we should be in something like wind or solar, which still is in the, you know, not in the full-blown stages here in the United States where it's still sort of developing, as opposed to coal? I mean, are there good economic reasons? Again, government regulations aside, where the company picks wind and solar over coal.
Now, according to the EIA, the The United States...
And EIA is the Energy...
Is the Energy Information Administration.
Okay, yeah.
And according to them, in the year 2015, the United States... 33% of the energy in the United States was produced from coal. And it's the same number as from natural gas. However, renewables were substantially less. All renewables counted approximately 7% of the total energy production, out of which wind and solar were really small, about 1% or so. So in terms of the total quantity of energy produced, even at the present time, it is substantially less than the amount of energy produced from the conventional sources of energy. By the way, nuclear accounted for 20%. I think it's about the same number as we speak. So it is going to be a long-term process. Transition from the known conventional fossil fuels to the renewable and more cleaner means of energy production will be a long-term process, accomplishable in many, many decades. However, one must also consider the new Paris Agreement signed in the 2016 and implemented from November 2016 that aims to limit the global rise in average temperature under 2 degrees. The immediate objective is to limit it by 1.5 above the pre-industrial levels. And in order to meet those requirements, each country has to make its own regulations. So at the present time, not only the United States, its coal is produced in larger quantities in China. China continues to be the largest producer and consumer of coal. So transitioning from a fossil fuel economy to an alternative energy economy will be a very long-term process. What I can see in the short term is the transition from coal to natural gas, which is still a fossil fuel source, but more profitable and more easily changeable from coal.
But as a business, is there also perhaps the tendency to look at the trend line here? And the trend line for coal, while it may still be producing a third of the energy in the United States, mm-hmm. the trend line would probably tell us that it won't be producing that much, say, 5-10 years down the road. Is that a fair way of reading it?
Yes. The cost of production of coal and the price of coal have been changing. The cost of production has been rising, whereas the price of coal has been plummeting. In the United States, changing from 2015 to 2016, 17% less coal was produced. It's an ongoing decline for many years. United States reached the highest coal production in 2008, at which time they produced approximately just shy of 1,200 million short tons of coal. But since then, there has been a progressive decline in the coal production. And the price of coal has plummeted at the time when their other sources of energy are slowly booming up. So with the natural gas alternative available, the transition to natural gas is seen as an easier and a more profitable means by the energy industry. One of the problems, as I said, for the coal industry is that burning of coal produces not only carbon dioxide, but also quantities of sulfur dioxide, and it is expensive to control that emission. Not only does it produce some other gases as well, some nitrogen dioxide, which are also contaminants into the atmosphere, but also it produces large quantities of ash. Some of that ash is released as aerosol particles, which has environmental problems, but then it produces large quantities of ash that remains in the fire plant. And the disposal of that ash is a very expensive process. But when it comes to natural gas, burning of natural gas produces carbon dioxide and H2O, which disappears, vanishes into the open air. And natural gas can be transported through large distances relatively easily. So cost-wise, it has become increasingly more profitable to use natural gas as an energy source than coal was.
You touched on this earlier, but I'd like to have you maybe discuss a little more the role that hydraulic fracturing or fracking has mm-hmm. played in making it easier and cheaper to extract natural gas.
Yes. The method of hydraulic fracturing, coupled with the new technology of horizontal drilling, has made enormous progress in the last 10 years or so. And previously untapped sources of gas and petroleum have now been brought to the open market. So the energy companies, the oil and natural gas companies, are investing large sums of money for the development of these projects. Obviously, when you have large quantities of fuels available in the market, naturally their prices go down. So now, in an onward trend, one can see that the price of natural gas is going to go down, and that is going to make natural gas a more profitable source of energy for most energy companies in the country.
What is actually causing then the increase in the price of producing coal? What are the factors there?
Mm-hmm. One of the reasons is that the environmental regulations, regulations by the EPA. There still is a new government plan. There is a government moratorium of providing federal lands to the coal companies for mining. But then if that moratorium stays in effect, then the coal mining company has to pay higher prices to mine in non-federal lands. So that is one of the reasons the price of coal production might increase, you know, with this moratorium staying in effect. Not to mention there is a proposed plan by the Department of Interior to extend the restriction on the release of contaminants by the coal industry. There is also a proposition of the application of the Clean Water Act on the headwater of the streams and marshlands and wetlands, that would also affect the coal industry. So in general, the environmental regulations by the government, as well as the changing dynamic of the energy industry created by the availability of large amounts of natural gas and petroleum, is leading to the less competing forces within the coal industry.
So there's a lot of ingredients in this cake,
yes.
I guess we might say. And it may be very hard to isolate it, but let's try for just a moment here and deal with President Donald Trump's declaration during the campaign that he was going to bring coal jobs back to places like West Virginia and Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. which have lost them. If we just focused on government regulations, if we took every regulation on the coal industry out, what is the possibility here or the probability that you are going to be able to save jobs, number one, and number two, if you can save them, then can you bring ones which have been lost previously back?
It's doubtful. I don't see a clear strategy that could bring all the coal jobs back. This is not, I mean, let us for the moment not consider the government regulations. Let us look at the fact that the coal mining industry has been losing jobs on a very steady rate. In the past 35 years, the coal industry has lost jobs from approximately 250,000 to 50,000.
So this is a long-term trend going back
yes.
generations, going back yes. decades now.
Yes. And one of the reasons that this has happened is because there are new mechanical means of coal mining that require less human to work in coal mines and are regarded as safer means to extract coal, because once you do not have actual miners working in the mines, you do not impose greater safety constraints. So the use of mechanical devices in the coal industry, particularly in the Appalachian Basin by the coal mining using the mountaintop removal method, has made the process more efficient and by using lesser and lesser of actual miners. So the mining industry has lost jobs on an ongoing basis for a very long time.
So automation even
yes.
has its place in coal mining.
That is correct, yes.
So what is the outlook then in terms of the actual plants? Are there plants which, in other words, were coal-fired, which have now changed over to something else like natural gas? Is that fairly common?
It is very common. And now that many energy industries have already made that transformation, it would cost them a lot of money to go back to the coal coal-fired plants. So from that standpoint, I don't see the energy companies reversing their trend and moving back and using more of coal.
The price which is involved there of changing back, something else is going to have to happen probably then, right? There would have to be a new event which somehow changes the dynamics of pricing in such a way that it makes it economical to go back to a coal-fired plant.
Yes, and now that there are so many other means of energy generation, and not to mention the environmental regulations and the environmental constraints, the Paris Climate Agreement, I don't see that happening unless there is a remarkable short-term demand for energy, and that could last for a very, very short degree of time. In the long time, I do see that the coal industry is going to reduce in size as it has been doing in the past years.
Even if a president and the whole regulatory bureaucracy, Environmental Protection Agency, cannot bring all those coal jobs back, are there things that you see they could do which might stop or at least slow the pace at which those jobs are eliminated? Or is it just really tough right now to be in the coal industry?
Well, it is tough now to be in the coal industry. But the other side of the story is it's not just the coal jobs that are there, but there are new growing jobs in the alternative energy sources. So at the time, yes, when the coal industry is losing jobs, there is new development of new technology, new pipelines for transmission of natural gas, new technology to develop wind power plants and solar power plants that are happening as we speak. So yes, for a large group of people in the Appalachian Basin, in Pennsylvania, in Ohio, yes, this is job lost. But if they open up their frontiers and explore other means of participating in the energy production, I think it's a better cause to look into, and that will open greater job opportunities with better returns in the long term.
Do you see jobs out there that people who have been coal miners, they can take the skills they have and the things they've learned and translate it to something else? I mean, is that a direct line, or does it require along the way retraining, maybe additional education?
Training. I think training is necessary because this has happened not only for the coal industry, but for all industries in general. In general, around the world, when there is a new technology, there is a transformation from the old methods to the new methods. There will always be a requirement for training the existing workforce to the new method. So, you know, in the same way, the coal industry, the people who have worked or now working in the coal industry will see the requirements, will see the necessity to go through this new training and new methods that are developed and generate an entirely different spectrum of energy generation that we can see at the present time.
So if we're just going to look out here for the next few years and try to give the best guess, I guess we could say, educated guess, of course, about what the energy sector is going to look like. Is natural gas going to continue to grow, and is that going to maybe be the real linchpin of the energy sector? And at the same time, do you think that the alternatives that we've discussed, you know, wind, solar, et cetera, are going to continue to gain more of a foothold?
I think so. So out of the 33% energy that was generated from coal in 2015, the numbers might have changed. In 2016, I believe there will be lesser and lesser production from the coal industry, and the production from the natural gas and other means are going to increase. Just another word about the new Trump administration. One of the policies that the Trump administration, the Trump transition team has proposed is the energy independence policy, in which the government will incentivize all means of energy production within the country and reduces its dependence on foreign oil and gas. So as a part of the process, not only is the coal industry going to see the benefits, but also the gas, the petroleum, and other kinds of energy industry will also see the similar benefits. So metaphorically, these sources of energy will compete with one another. And I see natural gas and other renewable means of energy getting a higher advantage over time. And I see coal losing the competitive edge that it used to have long time ago.
But if the U.S. does have a policy which says we are going to extract as much energy as possible from here in the United States and therefore not have to import it, could that be a net benefit for coal, even if it is losing out to natural gas? In other words, if we've got to produce as much energy as we can from inside the United States, does some of that have to come from coal? And in which case, maybe not all the jobs come back, but again, maybe the idea that the job losses are slowed or at least temporarily stopped.
It will depend on the energy consumers, the power companies. If the power companies choose to use more coal or increase the consumption of coal that they have been reducing over the years, yes, that trajectory might change, but that seems unlikely.
Because again, the plants in many cases have already changed over.
Yes. One of the alternatives of the coal plants, the coal mines in the United States, the coal companies in the United States, is to export coal to other countries where the restrictions, the government policies are not that restrictive. However, that also has been declining. So there isn't a good market. The market within the United States for coal has been declining. And even in the international scenario, the consumption of coal that is exported from the United States has also been declining. So even in the case that there is a vastly higher amount of energy necessary in the short term, the individual sources of energy will metaphorically compete with one another. And I see coal to be in a disadvantage than the other sources.
Joyashish Dakurta is a professor of geosciences at Western Michigan University. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.